Lord Jesus, in Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this opportunity to open your word and be able to dig into your scriptures. Help us to receive exactly what you want us to receive today. Help us learn what you want us to learn, and give us that motivation to get out and spread your gospel and share what we learn from your word. So pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. I'd like to talk on the subject of fear. There's a couple major different types of fear, you might say, or definitions of fear. One of them is fear is the natural emotional response to a perceived threat to one's security or general welfare, which ranges in a degree of intensity from a sense of anxiety or worry to one of utter terror. And then you got the other type of fear, which is a feeling of reverence and awe and respect toward God. And reverence being a feeling of profound awe and respect of God's majesty and holiness. So the words used in two different ways there throughout the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, and both of them are what we're going to be talking about. First, let's get into this fear of utter terror, that fear of bodily harm, that fear of something terrible going to happen to you, or something physical going to happen to you, or something financial, or just like it says, that anxiety and worry. There's many places throughout the scriptures we're told and taught not to worry, not to be concerned, not to be anxious, not to be worried about the things of the world, not to be concerned about our personal needs, our personal welfare, to keep our eyes on the Lord. But the thing we're going to get into here first is that fear of something happening to you. There's a lot of people that I know that are paralyzed by fear. Their lives are altered on a day in and day out basis because they're afraid of stuff that might happen to them. You got people that are afraid to get on the water. You got people that are afraid to fly. You got people that are afraid of mass transportation like trains or buses. You got people that have, well, they call them phobias. And if you look in the Greek, in the New Testament, the word phobia is the word they use. It's translated in the King James as fear. So that phobia is actually the Greek word for what we interpret as being fear. So there's a lot of those fears that are out there. There's fear of close spaces. There's fear of height. I grew up with an attitude of fearlessness, you might say. I got saved when I was 13 years old, and that brought a sense of comfort to me, a peace of mind, as it says, a peace of mind that passeth all understanding. And that peace of mind gave me a fearless attitude toward a lot of things, and even things that scare most people. Doesn't seem to bother me for some reason, and I attribute that to the fact that I'm comforted by God, knowing that He's going to see me through it. If we're in a dangerous situation, we're going down the road and we hit some bad weather, and we hit icy areas, we're dealing with a whole lot of that here lately, and so forth. I have a peace that God's going to see us through it. If we get into a situation where we're in a bad neighborhood, or we're driving and concerned about the vehicle, or in our travels, when we come out of a business late at night, or come out of a show or something, and it's really dark, and you've got to walk down a garage, one of those garages that you see on TV so much that they always have these scenes that someone's getting attacked or something, and that fear, that creepy feeling that crawls up your back, you know, that you just turn to the Lord, and He'll comfort you and give you a peace that removes that fear from you. Let's look at some scripture references to this kind of fear. You wonder, well, when did fear come into the world? When did all the fear start? Why did it start? If you will, turn over to Genesis chapter 3. always go back to Genesis to find the foundations, the roots of everything. You can always trace it back to the beginnings. Chapter 3 of Genesis reads, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yeah, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, We may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof, and did eat, and gave also unto her husband, which with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam, and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to me to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and the desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee. And thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust thou shalt return." All right, the account of the fall of man. That is when fear came upon man. That fear of accountability, that fear of knowing that they've done something wrong, that they deserved punishment, that they disobeyed a commandment of God, a simple commandment, but yet a blatant, all-out disobeying of what God told them not to do. They did it. They listened to Satan instead of to God. That is the greatest fear. That fear of accountability, going to have to answer to one's actions. That is what has changed this world from right there, from Genesis chapter 3, all the way to today. That's the major fear that we all face, is that fear of being accountable for our actions. For eternity, we shall be accountable for our actions. We have one option, and that is to accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, to turn our lives over to Him, to get saved, get born again, get washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, get all those sins removed from us so we will not be accountable for that, and live a God-glorifying life and stand before the Lord on that judgment day and hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Then we've got nothing to be afraid of. If we turn our lives over to the Lord and obey His commandments like He tells us to, we will go through the rest of our lives without having that fear of the day that we stand before Him in judgment day. The world out here doesn't want to believe that there's any accountability. That's why they're so against Christianity, is they know that in Christianity we teach that you are accountable for what you've done. And nobody wants to be accountable for what they've done. All the way back here to Adam and Eve, where they were blaming each other and blaming Satan. They don't want to be accountable for what they've done. They want to blame it on somebody else. You see that so much in life today, so many times. Even in our court systems, they'll say, "Well, it's society. It's the TV. It's their parents beat them up when they was kids. That's why they're evil and mean." No, they're evil and mean because they're serving Satan instead of God. You can't throw it back on anything else that happened in your past and say, "Well, it's because this happened. That's why I do this now." No, that's a total, flat-out lie. You do what you do because you choose to do it. And you are going to be held accountable for your actions. You're not going to be able to stand up there judgment day and say, "Well, the devil made me do it." It didn't work for Adam and Eve, and it will not work for you. There's only one way to stand there in front of Jesus Christ on judgment day, kneel down there in front of Jesus Christ on judgment day, and feel comforted and have that peace, and that is that you turn your life over to Jesus Christ, and He will give you that peace that passeth all understanding, and you will not have to live your life full of fear of accountability for what you've done. So, did man learn his lesson over this incident in the garden? Apparently, a whole lot of the descendants of Actually, almost all the descendants of Adam did not learn that lesson in the garden. He didn't pass it on to his children very well. As we know, over in chapter 6, the lack of reverence toward God grew and spread to a point that God had to bring judgment upon all the earth. Let's look at that in Genesis chapter 6, in verse 5, we know the account of Noah and the flood, and so forth. Let's look at a few verses here. Chapter 6 of Genesis, and in verse 5, it reads, "And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And it repented the Lord that He had made man on the earth, and it grieved Him at His heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and the creeping thing and the fowls of the air, for it repented me that I have made man." And skip on over to verse 17. It says, "And behold, I, even I, do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh wherein is the breath of life, from under heaven, and everything that is in the earth shall die." That day of judgment came, that flood over the entire earth. And Noah and his family were the only ones that were spared, because God had a plan for that. God had a plan to give man another chance. Very few of those, of course, it was only 8 of them total, but to give them another chance, instead of just wiping everybody out, having the judgment day right then and deciding who was going to go to heaven and hell, he still had a plan. Give man another chance there. So Noah and his family did what the Lord told them to do. They built the ark, they gathered the animals. The animals came in as he was instructed, and they waited for that judgment. 7 days there they waited in the ark before the Lord sealed that door, and the flood began. Accountability. The entire planet was judged. And we know that that is true. Scriptures tell us that. And we know the Scriptures tell us there's going to be another judgment day, and we will stand before the Lord. The entire earth is going to be destroyed. It will be melted away. The elements themselves shall be melted away. And there will be a judgment. A day of accountability is coming. That is something to fear. That is something to have the kind of reverent fear of God and have the kind of utter terror fear if you do not understand that you have to give your life over to the Lord. We're instructed to have that fear of God, that reverence of God. They failed to have that there in Noah's day, and they paid the price. So we need to focus on that in our life, to have that reverent fear of God, that two-part fear of God, the fear of utter terror of knowing that you will spend eternity in hell if you do not turn your life over to the Lord, and that fear of reverence and awe of the majesty of the holiness of God. Let's go back on the subject of utter terror and destruction and fear of our well-being, and flip over to Psalms 23. Probably one of the most quoted of all the Psalms. Psalms 23 reads, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." This is a psalm that we should really read regularly to give us that comfort, to let us know that the Lord is going to be right there for us. Those that love and serve Him will have these blessings that David's talking about here in this psalm. And that comfort when you do face that scary place, or that alley that you got to walk through, or that dark parking garage, or walking out to your car at night after you get off work and having that chill run up back of your spine there when something's going to happen and you don't know what's going to happen. That comfort can come over you when you turn your life over to the Lord. Because what he talks about here, walking through that valley of the shadow of death, "I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me." That rod and staff, going back to the Scriptures. Knowing the Scriptures, you got to learn and know the Scriptures, and the Scriptures will give you that comfort and knowledge of the existence of God. That comfort in knowing His will, that comfort in knowing what you should be doing, and that comfort that comes from having that peace that passeth all understanding that we keep mentioning, comes from studying the Scriptures. So study. All right, let's look on over here. Let's flip all the way to Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 5. Okay, this fear of something happening to us, or fear of what man can do to us, the Lord tells us in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5, "Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, The Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me." We're instructed in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, says, "And the fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." All man can do is take our life. It can do physically harm to us. We're not supposed to fear man. But it says here to have fear of Him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Now this is that twofold fear. We need to fear because we're afraid of that accountability, destroy the soul in body in hell. And we're supposed to have that reverent fear for the Lord as well. So this is a twofold fear. People say, God is love, you shouldn't fear God, don't be afraid of God. We need to have that twofold fear. we need to be scared to disobey God, because we will be accountable. He will say, oh, it don't matter, He's love, He won't do anything to you. There's so many examples in the scriptures. You cross God, you will be accountable. We need to be in an understanding that we shall be held accountable. So if that fear helps you stay accountable and stay on the straight and narrow, then keep that fear in that sense as well. But also have the fear, that reverence, that awe, that respect, so that that keeps you on the straight and narrow. Matthew 6:25 reads, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on it. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. So don't worry about tomorrow. We need to focus on today. And today's focus needs to be on serving the Lord. Turn our lives over to the Lord. And we'll get that peace that passeth all understanding. Let's go ahead and read that scripture. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4 reads, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace that passeth all understanding. The world out there can't understand that kind of peace, because they haven't accepted the Lord as their Savior. That calmness that comes over you whenever you're facing a bad situation, whenever you're being rolled down the aisle to that emergency room operating table, or that going to have that test in that MRI tunnel, or you go and sit down and have a root canal, or you're fixing to have a baby, or whatever medical condition you might have, that you can go into that and feel that peace, that comfort, knowing that the Lord's going to see you through that. And knowing that even if you are not a survivor of that, that you die in that operation, or that you have a fatal heart attack, or that you die in a car wreck, or get murdered, or whatever it is, having a peace, that calmness that comes over you, comes from knowing the Lord, comes from turning your life over to the Lord. That peace that passeth all understanding, that the world cannot understand, that comes when you turn your life over to the Lord and you get saved, and that Holy Ghost comes into you, He'll give you that peace. And you will not have to worry about anything if you focus on the Lord. We get that peace when we have faith in God, and that faith knowing that He's going to see us through it. In Mark chapter 5, we see an account here that is recorded. Chapter 5, verse 35 reads, and the same day when the even was come, He saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Now, this is Jesus talking to the disciples. And they gather into a ship, and they're going across the sea there. In verse 36 reads, and when they had sent away the multitude, they took Him even as He was in the ship, and there were also with Him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And He was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake Him, and say unto Him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And He arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And He said unto them, why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, "What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him?" They had not yet received the Holy Ghost. They had Jesus Christ right there with them, but they still did not fully comprehend and understand what was happening or who he was. And later on, when they received the Holy Ghost, all these guys, these 12 here that were with him, they get all sorts of courageous feelings and the lack of fear and that boldness, and they go out full force preaching and teaching and spreading the word like the Lord has told them, because they received that comforter being the Holy Ghost that he gave them there on that day of Pentecost. When we receive him into us and yield to his guidance, he'll give us that peace, and he'll give us that courage, he'll give us that boldness to be able to stand before anything, to stand before any challenge, stand before anything that might threaten us physically or financially or in whatever situation you might be in. The Holy Ghost can give you that comfort and that peace that passeth all understanding. So have the faith in the Lord, turn your life over to the Lord, and you'll get that Holy Ghost and have that peace. Let's go ahead and close. Lord Jesus and Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity to study your word. It's been an opportunity that we should all appreciate and understand and then take advantage of. Help us to be able to always keep that here in this country and throughout the world. Please lead, guide, and direct everything. We pray in Jesus' precious holy name. Amen. Thank you.